Let the people of God again say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We praise God for the men of Ebenezer on this Mother's Day. Let us once again be in the moment and posture of prayer. Loving God, we are grateful yet again for the gift of this magnificent day. We're grateful, O God, for the breath that you have breathed once again into our lungs, and for the opportunity now to engage with you in this fleeting moment in time of worship. Now, Lord God, I would ask only that the words of this your servant's mouth, and indeed the meditations now of each of our hearts, would now be found to be acceptable, Lord, in your most holy and excellent sight. For you and you alone, you are our rock, you are our strength, and you are our one certain and sure foundation. It's now in the blessed name of the one who promised to be with us always, the blessed name of Christ Jesus, our Savior, and our day-to-day guide through all of our wilderness places. We now lift this prayer and in his holy and blessed name say together, amen. So I share with you first from the book of Acts, first chapter, beginning in verse 21. So one of the men, beginning in verse 21. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection. So they proposed two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Now from John's Gospel, the 17th chapter, beginning in verse 11. "And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves." There's an old story about a young high school football star who was being recruited by a coach from a major college. The coach had never seen the young man play, so he asked him some direct questions. "Son," he said, "I understand that you do the passing for your team. Are you a pretty good passer?" "Am I a good passer?" the boy answered. "Why, I threw the ball 100 times this season and only had one incompletion. And that was because the receiver fell down before the ball got to him." Coach was impressed. "I understand that you also play defense," he said. "Are you a good tackler?" "Am I a good tackler?" the boy answered. "Well, I'll have you know that in one game this year, I sacked the quarterback 3 times. The coach rubbed his hands in glee. "I understand that you also do the punting for your team. Can you kick the ball pretty well?" "Can I kick? I'll have you know that I have to hold back on my punts to keep the ball from sailing into the stands." The coach was thrilled. "Tell me, son," he said, "do you have any weaknesses?" And the boy thought for a moment and then he replied, "Well, I do have a tendency to exaggerate a little." That young man may have overstated his abilities more than a little. But what a stark contrast from most of us Christians. If anything, most of us have a tendency to understate just how important prayer is, can, and should be in our lives. Just how much of a privilege it is to be a part of the living proof that Jesus' prayer for his disciples. We see in our text from John's gospel this morning that this prayer was not offered in vain. Jesus prayed to his Father on behalf of his initial disciples and on behalf of all of us who would later follow in what is known as the quote-unquote high priestly prayer in this 17th chapter of John's gospel. He prayed, and I'm now quoting Jesus here, beginning in the 6th verse of this 17th chapter. "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them. And they have received them and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but I am asking on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. So now, beloved, as professed followers of Jesus Christ, in the tradition of Peter and those initial disciples who knew Jesus personally, we ourselves now have the high privilege of offering ourselves as living proof that Jesus' prayer for us was not in vain. For unlike the young football player who exaggerated about his abilities, our testimonies about what we have been equipped to do in the arena of life by virtue of Jesus' prayer for all of us, those of us who are considered his followers. Our testimonies about what we have been equipped to do by virtue of this prayer and by virtue of our own individual and collective prayers. These testimonies will not be exaggerated. I don't know about you, but my prayers and the power of prayer have never been lost on me. It's never been lost on me that Jesus' consideration of me and the prayers that were lifted up on my behalf, the prayers that I myself lifted up, that the prayers of the collective community, that somehow all of these prayers have had some power in the events and activity of my day-to-day life. For it is through prayer that we remain connected with the mind and power of God. There is no guidance, there is no power any greater than the mind and power of God himself. And it is largely by virtue of Jesus' prayers to his Father on our behalf, both before and after he left his disciples in the flesh, that we as the church of Jesus Christ now exist. We would not be here as a church except for that Jesus prayed for us. So it is the subject of prayer that focuses our attention this morning in both of these texts. And if I had to choose a title for this particular message this morning, it would be, whether in doubt or not, pray. In our text from Acts, Peter and the other disciples pray about which person they should choose to replace Judas in the ministry and apostleship assigned and entrusted to them. And in our text from John's gospel, Jesus himself prays for the church. He prays that his followers, who would later become the church, would be unified in the work to which they were called. And I wonder if any of these initial disciples could possibly have imagined that more than 2,000 years later, there would be people still walking in their footsteps. And yet here we are, some 2,000 years later, as living proof that God has indeed honored Jesus' prayer. To be sure, Christians have, over the years, we bickered and we fought with one another. And some folk have been lost. But the truth of the matter is that there are more of us now than ever before. Those initial 12 became 70. And the 70 became hundreds. And now those hundreds have become millions. One of the most impressive and inspiring things I witnessed from this most recent United Methodist General Conference was the reach of our church in all parts of the world. And you'll see some evidence of this in the brief video of General Conference highlights that we'll show later on in the service. But I was moved and highly impressed and inspired that the Church of Jesus Christ in its United Methodist configuration is still choosing to remain united in spite of its difficult or different cultural and ethnic and geographic context. Sometimes there are things that we have to work through in order to remain engaged with one another. Indeed, it moved my spirit to witness interpreters having to interpret the proceedings of the conference in a multitude of languages, such that delegates from the Congo and from Sierra Leone and Liberia and the Philippines and from Germany and from all other parts of the continent of Africa and Europe and the Americas could follow and vote on our collective efforts to remain united and engaged in the work of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That is, after all, what should unite us. The work of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We can't do this work by ourselves. We can't do this work and remain united in spite of differences from time to time that may come against us. We can't do this work and remain effective with it, except that the power of Jesus' prayer for us as a church continues to have its hold on us. And the power of our own prayers to be loyal and faithful to the calling of Jesus Christ on each of our lives and on his church continues to allow God to do a new thing with us. Even at times when we get tired, even at times when we are tempted to become discouraged and to throw up our hands in despair. So the prayer of Jesus for unity and power, the prayer of Jesus for unity and prayer in general is at the very core of our Christian existence. And I am amazed by how many folk, both in the church and elsewhere, do not turn to prayer except when they find themselves in trouble. Prayer ought not to be our last resort once everything else has failed us and we find ourselves in trouble. Instead, prayer ought to be a multiple of times a day ritual of seeking to connect ourselves with the mind of God. I think I've shared with you before about the simple yet profound prayer that my mother taught me as a child of about 3 years old when I first came into my consciousness. My mother taught me this prayer: Jesus loves me, I love him, amen. And that prayer was the beginning, the starting point of a lifelong relationship with Jesus Christ. It was the beginning of a lifelong journey that has demonstrated to me time after time that Jesus is always as close to me as my conscious thoughts conveyed in prayer. And so for as long as I can remember, I cannot think of a time when I did not feel the presence of Jesus in my life. Because I always felt that wherever I was, whatever was going on in my life, I always had a direct connection with him through prayer. So we have lost out on a significant source of guidance, protection, and power if the only praying we're ever involved in is when we come to church, or whenever we get ourselves in trouble, or whenever we have to ask someone else to pray for us. It's okay to ask others to pray alongside of you, but don't forget to pray yourself. Amen. There is indeed power in every prayer that is lifted up in sincerity. The early disciples knew that any action they took, any decision they made in their day-to-day lives was best undertaken whenever it was first preceded by prayer. As a matter of fact, prior to the day of Pentecost, which we will celebrate on next Sunday, but prior to the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was unleashed on the Jewish multitudes who had come to Jerusalem for the festival of the Feast of Pentecost. Prior to this time, the disciples were first instructed to go where? To the upper room. And to there constantly devote themselves to what? Prayer. Prayer was the very first thing the disciples engaged in order to prepare themselves for this gift of the Holy Spirit. And so often we make the mistake of wanting power from God to do amazing and sometimes even miraculous things in our lives. But then we don't sufficiently prepare ourselves through prayer, through faith, or through action to receive the power that we're asking for from on high. So, beloved, if you truly want God to be in partnership with you about something, then position yourself by prayer, both before, during, and after that thing that you're diligently praying God's intervention in. Position yourself by prayer, faith, and deed to receive godly counsel so that you can be in perfect alignment with God's will and whatever it is that you're seeking God's assistance with. Power comes when our will is in perfect alignment with God's will. And so I don't know of anything else that can have more potency for guiding and shaping our day-to-day lives and decision-making than prayer. Scripture can offer us a framework for living and for making sound decisions, but prayer is where the nuances and details of our day-to-day lives have to be brought back to God for inspection, affirmation, and sometimes even correction. The apostles in our text from Acts did not know who they were to choose to replace Judas with. They had what they thought were two good potential candidates. And Joseph, called Barsabbas, and also known as Justice, and then another candidate named Matthias. But they only needed one person in order to replace Judas in the apostleship. But they weren't sure which one was the right one, the best one. So what did they do? They did what we all should do each time we're faced with important and major decisions in life. They prayed to the Lord for guidance. And then they trusted and believed that the Lord would work through a process that they had set up to decide among two very capable individuals. Now, I don't know if the Lord will give you the drawing of lots or straws to make a decision. But the Lord will give you guidance when you ask for guidance as to which way you ought to go. And so these disciples that we see in Acts, they prayed and said, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them. And the lot fell on Matthias. And he was added to the 11 disciples. Beloved, what difficult decisions are you facing this morning? What guidance and counsel from the Lord do you need in order to more faithfully fulfill your Christian journey of discipleship? And in order to be more in alignment with the will of God, the perfect will of God for every element of your lives? And what level of power from on high are you in need of in order to climb to the next rung on the ladder of your service to God and service to others in the world? Then whatever those difficult decisions or choices you are facing this morning, yield these cares and concerns to the Lord in prayer. Not only this morning, but as you go throughout your day-to-day Christian journey. And remember that as you come to the Lord in prayer, the Lord himself has and will always be your advocate before God, your Father, his Father, and God, our Creator. And Jesus will always have us in his sights and in his mind. And if you remember that, you will never go wrong when coming to him in prayer. So I close this morning. I don't know where you were when you first learned about prayer in your journey. I don't know whether it was later on in your journey or early on, as I was when I first came into my consciousness. But wherever that place was and whoever that particular individual was, give thanks to God for whoever it was and wherever you were when God somehow taught you the power of prayer. For as that familiar song goes, somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. My mother prayed for me, had me on her mind, took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad she prayed. I'm so glad she prayed. I'm so glad she prayed for me. My Jesus prayed for me, had me on his mind, took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad he prayed. I'm so glad he prayed. I'm so glad Jesus prayed for me. Amen. And thanks be to God for allowing such things to be true. We open the doors of this church and of our hearts at this time. If there is someone present who is without the benefit or the blessing of